Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Friday. Another nice day. It was warm today, but we had, you know, some clouds, some sun, So I was telling Drew, I got in my pool for the first time. I've been watching Dusty, our dog. Dusty's been hopping in and out of the pool every day like he's, you know, on fire or something. And I knew the water's cool. We have a lot of trees that I did not take into account when we put the pool in, because we put this pool in our backyard, had some trees cleared, put the pool in, and I didn't take into account how fast pines grow. Now, in hindsight, I wish I'd taken pretty much all of them out of the backyard, because...
Is it too late now?
Oh, it's not too late. Yeah. It's just gonna be a lot more expensive. Now
it would be an ordeal.
I'd have to get the fence taken down in the back, which wouldn't be that big a deal. You know, put a gate back in there.
You have Bill Cameron heads out there, laborers that would be happy to. You know how it works.
I've got some people I know that could do the job and could do it well. I mean, our buddy Jamie could do it. But it's just a pretty big undertaking. But there are so many pines. I mean, there are thousands of pine cones that are falling constantly. I mean, I don't mind some of the pine straw that I can use at times. But the thing that it has done is it's shaded the pool so much more. I mean, I've got the pool. It's sparkling. It's clean.
It has to work hard to keep the leaves out,
it's not that bad. I mean, the Polaris is great at that, okay, yeah. And the skimmers work. I mean, it's not the kind of chore that it used to be for people before there were robotic pool cleaners and things like that. So no, it's not that bad. The thing that it is, and I appreciate it. Oh, I love it every year in August and September when it's just brutally hot outside and my pool is still cool because there's shade. But early on, it's not just cool. I stuck the pool thermometer in one of the skimmers today while I was doing some edging and stuff. And
I mean, it's been cold a couple of nights recently.
Well,
I mean, you're gonna get some.
But it's been warmer lately.
It has been warmer lately. But you could still get some cold water in this pool.
I'm thinking. You know, it's been in the 80s and lows have been in the 60s. Maybe it's not too bad. So I stuck the pool thermometer in. The pool temperature was 66.
Ooh, okay.
66. Okay. I mean, and that doesn't...
You probably like it.
That doesn't sound that cold.
I was gonna say, you probably like that first number to be with a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, that doesn't sound... You know, I'm fine with it not being in an 8.
Yeah, you can be a 7.
I mean, last year, I think the pool may have topped out at 80.
Okay.
Which is great. I love getting in...
On a hot day, 66 isn't so bad, but it's still...
No. And it was pretty warm today. Yeah, I mean, it was in the 80s.
Okay.
But I thought about getting in. I started cooling off a little bit. And I went, I'm not so sure. Walked up to the deep end. And when Dusty hopped back in and looked at me, it was like, well, he was sort of daring me. So I did. And it was like, it was like diving into a bucket of ice.
Now, hold on. How was the dog daring you to jump in the water?
You know how dogs can give you that sad eye, you know, sad kind of look.
He can go in whenever he wants.
Oh,
right?
He does. Yeah. And he does all the time. I mean, you know, it's funny.
He's got swimming muscles on the legs.
He does, but he's crazy. He doesn't believe. I think he would be much better at a place, I think, where it gradually goes in.
Interesting.
The fact that there is there are three steps, and the third step is well over his head. He's very nervous. He will not just go out and swim on his own.
He hasn't learned how to use the ladder yet, right?
No,
the ladder's
no. Now Blue, our old dog, did. I mean, he was great. He'd swim under the ladder, climb out down in the deep end. My boys' dogs love to just come and jump in. Dusty will look at him. He'll step there on the first step, stick his nose under the water, and then just stay there. So I mean, that's all he does is just sort of chill. But yeah, I did. I'll tell you what, it cooled me off. It felt great after I got over the initial shock and thought I'd frozen to death. But no, it was great. So it'll only get warmer. That's the thing. It'll only get warmer from this point on.
I mean, we are, it's rodeo weekend. You can tell there's a buzz around town and an extra level of busyness. Also, a 280 boogie weekend, as you know, gave some tickets away to that. The old 280 boogie up in Waverly going on. So a lot of folks in town this weekend. Plus, it's one of the last weekends of the semester, right? I mean, we've got graduation in 2 weeks.
Is that right?
I believe that's correct.
Wow.
I think that's the thing.
Now that I'm not on the school calendar, I guess it is because we're approaching the end of April.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think that 2 weeks from now will be the beginning of May 3rd is 2 weeks from today, and I want to say the 4th and the 5th. That's when Auburn graduation stuff is going on. So it's semester is winding down. Your finals are coming up, and so it would make sense that this would be a busy weekend just in general in Auburn because it's one of the last ones that all the students will have together before everybody breaks for the summer.
Yeah, it's a weekend where Auburn baseball out of town. They're at Mississippi State. We've got some audio from Butch Thompson and a couple of players that we can get to at some point during the show. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise here on this Friday. And you can call us on the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. And that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Auburn football with some prospects, transfer prospects visiting this weekend. With basketball, I mean, I haven't heard of any, we talked about a couple of possibilities for Auburn basketball now that Janai Broom is returned and Auburn's added J.P. Pegues. Talked about a couple of possibilities with Justin Ferguson yesterday on the Drive, but I haven't heard when they are coming in. But I wouldn't be surprised. Even if you don't have, a sporting event to take them to, you want to try to get these guys. Usually you want to be, if not the first, among the first to get them in. Because as we were talking yesterday, it seems like if you're waiting for someone to take a couple of visits, then thinking, oh, now you'll wow them, they may not ever make it in.
Right, and we don't know. I mean, we were talking earlier about how it reportedly some of the pomp and circumstance is gone, right, from recruiting visits the way you used to in a pre-NIL era.
Right.
You
used to. Well, especially for the transfer guys.
I mean, you think about the way universities used to roll out the red carpet, even for transfers, right?
Oh, yeah. You'd go around. Having academic visits, tour of campus.
One of Bill's sons was a Tiger host.
Yeah.
So he knows this. You're well informed about the way recruiting visits used to go down pre-NIL. Now we've heard reports, and Bill, it doesn't sound all that far fetched to me that nowadays, especially for guys that are 1 year left in college football, if you know you're just playing 1 year at wherever you're going. Maybe you're visiting with the head coach, the position coach, the NIL collective, and maybe you got to work someone from your department academically, right? Like maybe you make it four, but it's brief and it sounds far more businesslike than and it sort of speaks to when Nick Saban was talking about how the tone of the breakfasts had changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be about getting planning your academic career and getting you ready for life and talking about things that had less to do with football, and now it sounds a little bit more transactional, at least officially. But we'll see. We'll see what Auburn can do this weekend. I mean, here's the thing: Auburn has playing time to offer at some of these spots, or at least a role, you know, a shot to break onto the two deep at a couple of positions where I would say, that makes Auburn a. The fact that Auburn can get these visits, you know, folks, what would you say, Bill? Folks feel pretty good about the Arkansas State player.
It's interesting because I don't believe he's visited yet, but I mean, a lot of the folks that follow the transfer portal have projected Kayron Crawford to Auburn. So I mean, that would be a nice pickup, but they're recruiting a couple of other guys that could either play that edge, Jack Buck, whatever. Jack Buck. Oh my goodness,
Jack Buck. Yeah,
never realized that
the Joe and the Jack.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, I'd never really thought about that. That position is named after a Hall of Fame broadcaster. But I mean, a couple of guys that could either be strong side defensive ends or edge rushers.
How big of a pickup would the Penn State receiver be?
It would be huge. And Auburn looks like, I mean, Auburn's getting the first visit, which I think is very significant. DeAndre Lambert Smith.
Yeah, Lambert Smith projects as somebody who almost no matter where he goes, folks think that he's going to break, you know, he breaks into the starting lineup as a receiver
over 50 receptions a year ago at Penn State. He's not the biggest guy. He's about 6'1", 180, 185, but he's big enough. And he's definitely a proven player. That would be a huge addition for Auburn. I mean, if they add that, because it already looked like your starting receivers could very well be three newcomers with two transfers and a freshman, and I just wonder where he would fit in. Would he be the guy? He might push Robert Lewis. So Robert Lewis and Sam Jackson would more be inside receivers, and Keandre Lambert Smith and Cam Coleman as your outside.
Although
guys.
I could see, you know, especially depending on, I mean, we'll see what Caleb Burton and Jay Fair decide to do. They're not in the portal at the moment, and I think that Auburn at times liked, especially on the inside, what they could get out of either of those guys. And Robert Lewis might be, I mean, even if Auburn adds another outside receiver, Robert Lewis might still be somebody who can play, you know.
Well, that's where he played at Georgia State.
Yeah.
He was an outside guy at Georgia State.
I mean, maybe it's, you know, you're looking at, I mean, if you add Lambert Smith, you're talking about, think about this, Bill. You're talking Cam Coleman, Lambert Smith, Robert Lewis, Perry Thompson as outside guys.
Camden Brown
as well. And then on the inside, Jay Fair, Sam Jackson, and Caleb Burton, all as options in the slot, plus Bryce Kane would be in the mix. Plus, you know, I want to point out, and you know, I have no idea, we also have no idea what VAR's going to do. Like, I presume he's gone because he didn't go through spring practice.
Yeah,
but isn't that strange?
It really is. It really is. We just have not heard anything. I mean, where was it? Was it Utah?
Utah. Took a visit to Utah when he was in the portal back in December. As far as I know, was still in the portal, but reportedly
maybe just concentrating on academics. Going to be a grad transfer?
Could be a grad transfer. Maybe because he's played so much college football, he doesn't. You know, he feels like he can skip a spring practice and show up somewhere and still make an impact. But it's that's an unusual one, and I do wonder if the door's open. Maybe that's probably something I should file away and ask Hugh Freeze the next time we get to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Is because that would imagine. I mean, not that we didn't just. I mean, we just listed
10.
And we didn't say Malcolm Simmons, who's also.
No, you didn't say Malcolm Simmons or Coy Moore, who we don't know.
Coy Moore and Malcolm Simmons. So I mean, there's more there, but on the inside. In between Sam Jackson, Jay Fair, and Robert Lewis could be there as well if they like what they're getting on the outside.
Robert, he said he practiced. Remember, he said he was working inside, but then we saw him outside in the A-Day game. So he could play multiple spots.
I wonder how much we could see Coleman inside because big receivers work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's never done that. I don't know that he's practiced that.
But Hugh Freeze was not afraid to use his big receivers inside when he was at Ole Miss. They weren't just exclusively lining up on the outside. I mean, Hugh Freeze, he'll play matchups and he'll move guys around. Mm-hmm. And I would think that's something else to watch for is, even though we think guys like, I think especially Cam and Perry, right, we think of them as, they're classic outside receivers, it's like guys move around now, and you know, and if you're trying to work matchups, it's like basketball, right, Bill? Like you're switching. You're trying to get guys to switch off until you get the matchup you really like, and maybe that matchup could be Perry Thompson or Cam Coleman, outside receivers matched up on a safety or a linebacker or a nickel or a dime or something like that. So I would think that's they seem to like their situation, and then there's the chance they could add more to it between now and the start of the season.
We're just underway here on the Friday Drive. Yeah, that's some interesting things to think about. Love for you to join in. We do know where one of the former Auburn players who have gone into the portal is headed. We'll talk about that more.
In football?
Basketball.
In basketball. We got a commitment. We got some news earlier today about where.
That is right. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
This is Billy Plummer with The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. We're efforting Barrett Salee. Say something here while I send him a quick text.
Yeah, Barrett. You know, we've had a tough time connecting with Barrett these last couple of weeks because either we've had stuff going on, we were on location the last couple of weeks, or Barrett's been difficult to track down. So hopefully we'll be able to chat with Barrett Salee from what's his official outlet these days? Where are we listing Barrett as being from, Bill? What do we say, Barrett's?
Oh man. See, it's been so long. I've got. Okay. Well, I don't want to say it. I don't want to get it wrong either.
Yeah, right. No, I don't want to get it wrong either. It was. I feel like he's changed. He's changed a couple times since the last time we got to.
Well, he's still got the college football smothered and covered.
Okay, smothered.
I know. He's still got that, and he's still doing some serious.
I think we could just bill him as being from smothered and covered. I mean, among other things, but you know, Barrett's a great guy to talk to, and hopefully we can. Hopefully we can link up.
He does the Atlanta Journal Constitution's Braves report. I'm just looking at all the things he does.
His credits.
Yeah. I think he's Outkick. He's now with Outkick. Okay. That's it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's got the Outkick coverage in his Instagram. But anyways, so we'll talk with Barrett Salee. Hopefully, if not, we'll push that to later in the week. Have we heard from him?
No, I'm waiting. Okay, waiting a response. I'm okay, letting we'll him see. Know because I apologized last week after the fact that we'd completely forgotten, and he said it was no problem. He usually texts me when he has something.
But
he's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy. Things can pop up. So you know we'll effort Barrett Salee. But
are the Braves at home or on the road?
I don't know what they're doing this weekend.
They're at home. He may be at the ballpark.
Braves play in about 2 hours against the defending. How about this?
Defending world champions.
World champion that Texas Rangers. Yeah, it still seems weird to say, but the Braves 12-5 to start the season, despite the injury to Strider in the first start of the year.
And Ozzie Albee's out for a month now with a broken toe.
And and they really haven't gotten much out of that. No,
Max Fried has struggled three of his four starts.
The Braves
are still 12-5. Yeah. So they are very, very talented. They're gonna test some of the young arms, things go.
Helps when three of your everyday players have on bases over 400 in Ozuna, Acuna, and
Marcelo Ozuna, who a lot of people were ready just, you know, dump, give away, nothing, you know.
Well,
he lost it.
Well, it wasn't just about his performance.
No, but then his performance, the fact was, I mean, he had off-field problems, but then he was struggling big time.
But some of the folks, their appetite to get rid of Ozuna, it wasn't just because they might have been more patient with him if there wasn't also like...
Yeah, but you know what? Now, it's like, doesn't matter, you're hitting 350 with seems like a homer every day.
Yeah, the OPS is over 1,100 for Ozuna this year. Olsen is playing well as well. So it's been a tough lineup. I mean it's clearly if not the best. I mean probably the best.
Braves and the Dodgers.
I mean, but
the Dodgers are looking. They're looking for help.
I mean,
in the outfield.
They're not hitting the ball. Aside from Mookie. I mean,
Freddie's doing okay.
Freddie's doing okay, but the power is trending the wrong way for Freddie Freeman.
Will Smith's hitting the crap out of
Will. Will Smith doing very well, but I mean, you know, some of the patchwork outfielders beyond Teoscar, right? Who's up and down?
Nice offseason pickup though, but I mean, he's really helped them. He's been the best guy they've had in the outfield.
The rest of that outfield
has been not very good.
James struggling.
James Altman's made too many outs, man.
Yeah, it's struggling. I mean, it's not going to. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they can add between now and the deadline. I mean, there's also that Ohtani fella hitting the ball.
Yeah, it's funny though. Did you see? I mean, he's struggling with men on base.
Yeah,
he's hitting for a high average.
He's not used to hitting
when there's anybody on base.
It's new to him. Right?
Yeah, what are those guys doing out there?
He's used to having clear base paths and from the first couple of years of his career. So yeah, I still feel like we're setting up. It would be a surprise. You don't rule it out because it's baseball. Still feels like those two are the class of the
yeah, they should be. Yeah. Should be. All right, we were talking a little basketball. I mentioned some basketball transfer portal info. Katie Johnson headed to George Mason.
Yeah, how about that? Katie Johnson going to the team that probably still most famous for the upstart Final Four run.
Just a couple of years ago.
Was it 20 years ago? Thereabouts? When they beat UConn, something like that. So, I mean, it's Washington D.C. area school, I believe they're in the A-10, and it's it gets. We were saying that if KD is willing to drop out of the major conference level, there could be a lot of playing time for him at quality mid-major programs around the country, and I think he's found one. You know, he's found a place where, yeah, I would expect between playing the one and the two. I would think that Katie Johnson's in line for 30-plus minutes of action at George Mason, and maybe he can something else to his list of accomplishments as a college basketball player.
Yeah, so good luck to KD as he heads up to D.C. there for George Mason. We did see some news. It's interesting. Wonder if Auburn will have any interest as the last player from John Calipari's Kentucky team has left the building. It left Rupp. Jordan Burks, who's from Decatur, Alabama, was the last remaining member of the Kentucky team. He entered the transfer portal earlier today as a true freshman, averaged just under 2 points and 2 rebounds, 7 minutes a game, 6'8", power forward, 4/5 guy, which is, we were just talking, Auburn's looking for somebody to play that, I think, down low, to give some more minutes down low. And here's a guy that Auburn could say, you can more than double your minutes from last year. Played 7 minutes a game. He could get 15 to 20 minutes a game and be in the same type position that Chaney Johnson was a year ago as Chaney heads into his final year, and then be able to step into a starter's role if he doesn't beat Chaney out if he were to come to Auburn.
I do wonder if he's just in the portal to improve his leverage because he's got a former coach who assuredly wants him.
He does.
John Calipari in
but
Arkansas.
I mean, he's from Decatur.
That's true. But he's probably got a current coach who would like him to stay considering the state of the Kentucky roster
sure.
Right now in Mark Pope.
Didn't you say he played for Overtime Elite?
Was an Overtime Elite guy coming out of Decatur.
I mean, he knows some of the guys that are and have been here. I would think Auburn's going to be a factor for Jordan Burks.
The last remaining player from last year's Kentucky roster who had a decision to make about the NBA draft or the transfer portal, and he's going into the portal, so we'll see what happens there with a it's remarable some of the I mean again it gets back to Auburn. I mean, what a luxury to have as much of your roster secured as Auburn does right now. When you think about the state of other rosters around, like even the best schools in the country are losing, the best programs in the country are losing top tier players to the NBA draft, or they're seeing players that maybe could have factored in next year. I mean, Duke has been largely decimated. UConn has a lot of work to do who's the player Auburn. He went in the NBA draft today. Castle?
Yeah, Stephon.
Yeah, Stephon Castle was the freshman who started for UConn most of the season, chose UConn over, among other schools.
Yeah, Auburn was a school that definitely was trying to sway him?
Projected lottery pick after 1 year and winning the national championship with UConn this year. But, I mean, places like UConn and Purdue and Duke and Kansas have a lot of work to do with their rosters. Like we were just saying, places like Arkansas and Kentucky don't have rosters right now.
That's crazy.
And Auburn is, Auburn is 160, 170 of the 200 minutes are already sort of locked into place with the choice by Broom to return. And it's just, I mean, it's in stark contrast to what a lot of the, you know, what a lot of college basketball programs are dealing with right now.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, Auburn's in a very, very good position, looking to add a couple of more spots. Interesting as I read about Jordan Burks. Yesterday we were talking about R.J. Godfrey. And again, haven't seen where these guys are visiting or when they're visiting anywhere. But, I mean, both of those players would make sense that Auburn would be interested. Godfrey is an upcoming junior who played about 15 to 17 minutes a game this past year at Clemson. Jordan Burks, a sophomore who played 7 minutes a game at Kentucky this past year. But one thing that I've read, it's funny when I just read their bios, one of the things that they are both...
And RJ is Randall Jr.
Yes, he is. That's what RJ is.
That's what the RJ stands for.
Yes. But one thing that both bios talk about is the energy that both of them bring. I mean, that Clemson felt like R.J. Godfrey was their energizer, and Kentucky called Jordan Burks their energizer. Said he'll be remembered by the Big Blue Nation as an energizer, even though he didn't receive the playing time he likely thought he deserved. That didn't deter him from being a great teammate, cheering on the bench, hyping up his team in huddles, to being a joy to talk to in interviews. A smile was always worn by the native of Alabama. So, I mean, both those guys would seem to fit, you know, the feeling that you have. You know, Auburn's losing a couple of energy guys. They're bringing a couple of energy guys back. Wouldn't hurt to have another one or two.
I get why in the case of the Kentucky player, I do wonder if there could be more playing time available at other places have the security that Auburn has right now. And again, that's why I go back to, he was Calipari signee originally. Calipari can probably offer him starters minutes right now at Arkansas, considering the state of that roster. Maybe Mark Pope can promise something like starters minutes at Kentucky if he wants to stay in Lexington. So I think Auburn has a chance, and I think the fact that he's from Alabama would certainly help. And if he wants to, if he wants to spend a year growing into a starter and then maybe becoming a starter after the season is over for the 25 season. Like if that's something he wants to do, Auburn would be a great place to do it based on the,
Auburn's got a great, they've got some great film to show players like that and say, you know, see how Chaney Johnson progressed.
Yeah. Look at how these guys changed their game over the course. Look at Anthony McLemore and the way he turned into an all defensive player.
I'm just saying, talking about playing time. Say, look at how we did it last year. We played like two units, and you saw Chaney Johnson progress tremendously as the season went on, and getting half the minutes.
But their ability to develop guys too. I mean, they can point to any number of players, more recent ones, sure. But also, I mean, dating back 5, 6, 7 years ago, there are guys that they can point to and say, like, look at how we were able to make their games over into something that's still allowing them to play basketball now. So no, I would think that's the only concern I would have is I think it's going to be, I'm really interested to see how they fill these last two roles, because it feels like so much of the red, like we've talked about how it's easier to recruit in a way, Bill, when you have playing time to offer, when you have a lot of playing time to sell, it gives you a chance to, it gives you the opportunity you're recruiting a different kind of player when you don't have playing time to sell, and we'll see how if Auburn can get guys to buy in on those last couple of roles on the roster.
We're going to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in again. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Stick with us. Plenty to come here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. It's 22 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. We talked a little basketball, transfer portal info, some football. We'd mentioned Keandre Lambert-Smith expected to be in this weekend. And I said I did not know when Keron Crawford was coming in. Christian Clemente of 24/7. Posting that he's expected to be in Auburn Sunday for an official visit. And it looks like, again, I think Auburn's got a very good shot. Most people feel like Auburn is the team to beat for Keron Crawford, who's a 6'5", 245-pounder that's an edge rusher. And he'll be visiting Sunday. I wouldn't be shocked if Auburn has another addition to its roster by the time we're on the air Monday. Now, could they add two? The second one's going to be a little tough because we know that Keandre Lambert-Smith visiting Auburn this weekend. I had not seen who the other schools. Christian saying the other schools that he's scheduled to visit will be Texas A&M, Southern Cal, and Colorado are the other schools thus far that are on his potential visit list.
Auburn looking to Auburn looking to add. We were waiting to see how the needs may have changed depending on who goes into the portal.
Yeah, I think Hugh Freeze and his staff want to upgrade whether everyone stays or not.
But I think they were sort of like we were thinking.
I really did think that meant by now there'd be a receiver or two in the portal.
And there was also the chance that Auburn someone could sort of surprise and go into the portal, and then you have to replace them and the production you were counting on from them. I don't think anybody, with all due respect, I don't think anybody Auburn was really counting on for a lot of production in 2025 has gone into the portal.
No,
since it opened.
No, Brenton Williams, the only scholarship player that has gone in the portal that we hadn't heard about,
and Auburn
before it officially opened.
Auburn really recruited his position hard.
Yes, they did.
Like that is maybe the most impressive group of true freshmen.
With Joe Phillips moving there, Jamonte Waller, Amaris Williams at the edge.
I would be careful because there's also a pretty impressive group of true freshmen at receiver
on
this year's team. But it's I'll say it's a good looking group that may be counted on to play early, depending on. Although if Auburn lands the Arkansas State edge,
they land Crawford, and then Najalik Kelly is supposed to be in Auburn next week.
The closest thing you do to a crystal ball. You'll put on Crawford, right?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, you'll say. You feel like Auburn's in pole position for this young man who also, it's worth pointing out, went to the private school that
Briarwood Christian in Memphis.
Briarwood Christian, where Hugh Freeze was the head coach before jumping into college football.
Mm-hmm. Now Najalik Kelly, the Miami edge, who is entered the portal. He is scheduled to visit Auburn next weekend, but he's got visits to Central Florida and Missouri before then. Again, we've seen it happen in the past that players visit somewhere, they like what they hear, and they decide that's enough. I don't need to take another visit. They want to make sure they get a place locked in. I mean, that's the other thing. We talked about that. Players don't need to have the royal treatment or don't expect that when they're making these visits. The other thing is not every one of these guys knows that no matter how long they wait, there'd be a spot. They've seen and heard about players going into the portal, waiting, and then not having a place. So a lot of times if they're looking for they want to hear about the certain amount of playing time. They want to know they're going to be compensated. They're going to get the NIL, and they like the fit. Why do you need to go somewhere else? Go ahead and do it. Don't take a chance on going somewhere else. And when you check back with that first place, they may not still have the availability.
Tell you what, if you're a superstar at the
superstar is a different story.
That's what I mean. If you're a superstar at the FCS or Group of Five level, and you want to go into the portal in the spring and open up the bidding and see if a major conference championship contender wants to bring you in and find a role for you, that's one path into the portal. If you're not in line for playing time this year, the spring portal is a dangerous place to go.
Because you're right about that.
There might not be a market for your services at the major conference level or at the Division I level or even at the FCS level. And I think that's humbling to some of these guys to find out, oh, yeah, schools that, you know, we'll watch. I'm really curious to see what happens with Carmelo English, right, Bill? Because that's a guy,
right?
That's a guy who could have punched his ticket to virtually any SEC program coming out of high school. And he's in the portal right now. And I'm interested to see where he ends up after a year where he didn't get on the field very much for the national champion. I mean, that would seemingly be a smart buy low candidate.
He will have plenty of interest. That's one of the things. Remember, we were talking about with Justin and with Jason, the guys who were very highly touted coming out of high school, who because of injury or because of quality players ahead of them, that's not going to be held against them as much. When I look at like Najalik Kelly, he's a guy that was a top 100 player, I believe, coming out of high school. And he had a really good freshman year at Miami. This past year, he was hurt. If he is healthy, if he goes and makes visits and checks out physically, schools are going to offer him, no question. Even though he doesn't have the film to back it up because they remember what he was coming out of high school and some of the things he flashed as a true freshman.
I forget if we said this on the air, but I would still say for Carmelo English, you know, the plan should be, and you know, I don't know what his offers look like right now. My guess, my thinking would be,
I bet he'll get an SEC offer.
I'm curious. My thinking would be, if he doesn't get one, I would say you find the best Group of Five situation you can, preferably in the Southeast, and get on the field and play a lot. And then if you, you know, and then
yeah,
work
because
your
with
way.
Unlimited transfers, you can transfer anywhere. I just have a feeling that someplace like Kentucky, which just lost a couple of players to the transfer portal, wide receivers to the transfer portal.
Billy Napier, maybe give him a call.
I could see that
situation
too.
Situation there. I mean, that's
sure.
You know, the guy.
I believe
Florida was in on him out of high school.
I think there will be some SEC offers.
One would think. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that I would have thought Auburn would be all over a situation to bring in Carmelo English after it didn't happen when he was in high school. But Auburn has brought in a lot of young receivers, you know, between the end
and
of last season.
Looking for more
and now.
Proven guys now, it appears. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us. Anything that you want to talk about sports wise here on this Friday Drive.
It's time to stop deep. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 11 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We've got some baseball audio that we can run a little later on. We talked with Butch Thompson and a couple of players yesterday, Cooper Weiss, Parker Carlson, as Auburn is there in Starkville getting ready to play Mississippi State on their big weekend. It is their spring football game. So they're probably going to set attendance records as well. State, a program that, you know, they won their first national championship and then didn't make the playoffs. Just the same as Ole Miss and Mississippi State not making the postseason after winning the national title. LSU wins the national title a year ago, and they're one game ahead of Auburn right now at 3-12. In SEC play.
Yeah, I wonder if there's, you know, if there's something scientific, you know, to that. If it's tough to keep the fire burning, you know, with all the roster turnover in college baseball and carry over a year, or maybe it's just
you lost Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz last year.
To lose as much as you
see what Skeens is doing.
Yeah, I do.
Paul Skeens is ridiculous. Yeah. Last night, I think he threw 34 pitches clocked at 100 miles or better.
You know what,
he has yet to allow a run year.
What does it say, though, Bill, about modern pitching where I see those results and I wince, right? You just see the elbow and you go,
it's coming.
And I hate that, right?
He is a
big, strong dude.
Guy.
And I hope he has a long, super healthy career. The Pirates already have a very, very exciting Jared Jones
quietly. He's got like a 32-2 strikeout to walk ratio.
As electric a Pirates pitcher as there's been in a couple of years, and they could maybe add Skeens to that. So there's reason for excitement. But that's I just get scared about pitching.
Yeah, you just almost know that it's coming because I mean it happens. It's happening and it's happening more frequently than ever.
Yeah, and I hated seeing Strider go down. Even though I'm not a Braves guy, but hated seeing Strider go down.
Oh yeah. No kidding. All right, 334-321-1390. We'll get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Tex is up. Hey Tex.
Hello Tex.
Hey guys, Bill. I don't know if you remember the name John Metasavage or not.
Yes, I do. Shortstop.
He passed away.
Oh
yesterday.
No.
Yes.
Golly,
he's,
man.
Across the street neighbor of mine grew up. He's a year younger than me, but it wasn't expected. So.
Oh man, that is really sad news. Yeah. I remember. I absolutely remember him.
Big left-hander, played in the Mets organization for a while after school. So. I heard you talking about Paul Skeens. He goes to the same sports therapy place that I go and my wife go to. He spent the entire offseason. Dan, I heard you mention something about maybe elbows. He spent the entire offseason working on strength and flexibility. And that has enabled him to do a couple of things, to get his slider in the same arm slot as his fastball and his changeup, which is really helping him. And number two, his strength and his endurance went up. So it's not surprising, based on the facility that he comes out of, that he's doing that right now. It is surprising that he developed the slider so quickly.
And the Pirates are being extremely careful with him, too.
They're not throwing him a ton of innings. In four appearances, he's only thrown 12 and two-thirds innings. You know how many strikeouts he has in those 12 and two-thirds innings? Guess.
28.
You're one off. 27. Oof. 27 strikeouts. Look, that is 38 outs. Out of 38 outs, he's gotten 27 strikeouts.
He hasn't given
up a run yet.
I almost feel like, you know, it's not out of concern for the other guys in AAA. Like they need to call him up,
really?
Right? Like
I agree.
This is not this is something that, you know, he's doing psychological damage to these guys.
Well, I will just tell you this. Having met him, I have a picture I think I've shown you, Bill, of me standing next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt so small in my life.
He is a large young man.
And the key thing is, in that picture, you can see his hands. And his hands, he's just a big human being. And he's really bought into his craft. He had told me that he originally thought he was going to be a big home run hitter and a first baseman. He really didn't really care to
pitch. He was a great hitter.
Yes. Fantastic athlete. And I think I told this story. He wants to play in the big leagues for 10 years and then go back to the Air Force and be a fighter pilot.
Wow.
I don't know what fighters you can get in at 6'7".
I was going to say, is he almost too big?
Maybe a drone. Maybe pilot a drone or something.
That's not what he wants to do. He wants to fly the big fast ones, and that's what he's, when we talked for a while, that's what he wants to do. It's quite amazing. A guy wants to serve your country, and he's got that much talent that he can play a game the rest of his life or the rest of his career to benefit him to where he won't have to work.
Was he a guy that was not super highly touted coming out of high school?
Yes, he was. But he also had a big desire to go into directly into.
Oh, I can see that. But I just wondered because I, you know, a lot of times you'll see guys that are listed as top 100 coming out of high school. I didn't recall him being that. So.
Yeah. Hey, again, rest in peace, John Matasavage.
Yeah, man. Sorry to hear that. Really sorry to hear that. Thanks, Tex.
All right, guys. All right, bye-bye.
All right, we'll get to our top of the hour break. Another hour to go. Love for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It has turned out to be a gorgeous Friday afternoon. Hope the weather holds up because there are a lot of things going on this weekend. Just sort of stay tuned. You know, you never know. But, yeah, welcome in. Final hour of the drive for the week. And we'd love for you to get involved. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we've talked about the transfer portal, both basketball and football, you know, how that relates to Auburn in both. Something we haven't gotten into, the NCAA officially verifying, passing a couple of rules changes. We talked about months ago when they came up the helmet communication and the two-minute warning.
There was a two-minute warning at A-Day this year.
Yes, there was.
To get folks ready for the introduction of the two-minute warning into college football. I wish I could say there was a reason other than it gives TV networks.
No, it's for more inventory. Right. Now, one thing that some people will say is, well, they tried to speed up, you know, they sped up the ball game by not stopping the clock on first downs until 2 minutes, and would say, and this is to delineate, to start the time that the clock is going to stop. Sure, that sounds good, but it's all for commercial inventory.
It's all to get the game over faster and to not excise.
Having a 2 minute warning does not get the game over faster.
But if you've sped the game up with some other rules,
yeah, now it could maybe be about the same.
Now the game will be over a little bit faster,
with more commercials,
with the same number or more commercials,
with fewer plays, more commercials.
And you know what? For what these broadcast networks are paying to air these games, I understand that they need to get some ROI, and so we're gonna have to endure the commercials. But I would, you know what, Bill? I would rather. I guess this is the classic debate in streaming, right? Like, I guess I'll sit through the commercials if the other option is I have to pay a lot, right? For the commercial free.
Yes, indeed.
I don't mind the occasional commercial break in that situation.
No, I am with you 100%.
It can be overdone. You can get, and I'll tell you what the worst is the same commercial over, like,
oh,
the
when you're watching MLB.
When it's the same two commercial, there are YouTube
well,
TVs
with,
YouTube
with TVs a lot with a lot of the streaming services that have ads. If you have the one with ads, you're liable to see the same two ads every single break.
You know what?
Sometimes the same ad multiple times in the same break.
I really appreciate the YouTube TV Zen, right, to break up the monotony of some of those commercials
they give you a snowy mountain or a rainy forest
or something. That's much better. Even if you don't.
I'm sure they'd prefer there to be paid commercials.
Sure,
but
if it's not just the two, but you know what? They're also getting the subscription money.
That's true.
You know, they're also getting the money you're paying to watch YouTube.
But
TV
they wouldn't turn it down.
They wouldn't turn it down. No.
All right. We're just underway here in hour number two of the Friday Drive, and the second hour of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We're about to get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can join us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
And let's get to the drive hotline, and Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I want to talk a little Braves.
Sure.
You know, with Spencer Strider going down, the Braves need another starter bad. Their two best minor league pitchers are the Walter guy from Florida and the half-hyphenated guy from
Smith Shauver, who has not
AJ Smith Shauver
has not been great thus far in the minors this year.
And then you got Bryce Elder, who was an all-star last year, still trying to get back to that form. They've been very fortunate. Ronaldo Lopez has been fabulous for the Braves early on, and Chris Sale has looked more like the old Chris Sale. And then Charlie Morton is ageless, but we talked about the fact that. With Strider out and Max Fried still struggling to try to find himself, the Braves have to be looking.
Braves go outside the organization, I would think. I'd immediately look to the Oakland A's because seemingly that's where the Braves go whenever they need to make a trade.
Because the A's are always very accommodating.
Yeah, and
it
hasn't worked out tremendously for the A's in some of those deals. But I would think that the is it Blackburn? Is that the pitcher? I believe there's a pitcher on the A's who is Paul Blackburn is the pitcher that folks think could be a commodity in the trade market for Oakland in the starting rotation. Also, remember Fetty from Washington a couple years ago.
Eric Fetty.
Nice piece in the rotation for the Chicago White Sox that folks think could be dealt away as their season's already over. Record time, right, Bill?
No kidding.
Couple teams know. That it's only going to get worse from now until the end of the season. Oakland and Chicago, unfortunately, Colorado's probably on that list too. Where it's there's very very little reason to believe things are going to get a lot better from what you've seen through the first 20 games or so. Which has got to be a tough feeling, right? Because it's a long season, right? And if the results through 20 games are not just mixed, but negative to the point where there's very real very little reason to hope. For a drastic difference in the following 140, that's a tough baseball season to endure. Drew's had a couple of those as a Cubs fan. Drew's had a couple of those, and there's a couple teams doing that. I would think that the Braves would make sense for both of those guys, Blackburn and potentially and Eric Fetty. What about Lizardo, Bill? Could the Marlins?
He is the the guy that everybody would love to have off that team, no question.
Yeah, but I don't want to give up what it's going to take.
The Marlins aren't going to give you the kind of deal the A's would.
No. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
I wonder if the Marlins would be reluctant to deal in division
within the division,
but maybe
especially
not.
During the season.
I mean, they've made some deals within the division before, so
and
maybe
they got off to a terrible start.
Yeah, awful.
I just got a text from Barrett. It's like we're just having problems with this Friday thing.
What's
it's really been tough. He went, "Oh crap, cleaning up from middle school field day."
Can he join us in the next?
I think he's still working.
Is he still cleaning up?
And
okay,
then they're an hour ahead. So it's 6 o'clock there. It's probably about
and the
dinner
Braves,
time.
And the Braves are about
and the
to
Braves are playing.
Braves are about to play the champs. Yeah,
yeah. It's like so. I gave him a hopefully next time. I mean,
no, I think the Braves would love for Smith Shauver to grow into somebody who belongs in the rotation. And there's the belief. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill. There's the belief from folks around the Braves that he could be a piece that's a productive starting pitcher. He's got the underlying attributes of somebody like that. It's just a question of can he put the results together in the minors enough to justify a chance in the majors? And then when he gets that chance, what is he going to do with it? But, yeah, I think the Braves would love for some of the internal options to turn it around and provide them enough that they don't need to go outside the organization for more pitching. If they go outside the organization, there are a couple of teams now that are just – I mean, they're – If it's not bolted down, right, Bill, you could probably get it for cheap. And so I would think that Oakland, Miami, White Sox, is there pitching you'd want on Washington?
I don't know.
Do you want
your guys pitched well?
Can I interest you in a Kyle Freeland? You know what I mean?
Like no.
Is that sort
no,
of
he just I think he just went on the injured list.
Yeah,
too.
I mean it's a tough one of the reasons the teams that are out of it are out of it is because they don't have pitching.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's tough to go get pitching from those kind of teams. We'll see if we'll see if somebody falls out of it with a lot of starting pitching that could maybe open up an avenue for the Braves. Same thing with hitting for the Dodgers, right?
You think
like we'll see. And I think the Dodgers would love to add an outfielder I know they really want to give Lux like every opportunity to hold on to that job inside and not go outside the organization.
Yeah, I mean they have really been high on him for a few years.
He's
only had one full year in the majors.
I think I could see them going out and getting a bat, and I would think that's probably from either a team that's out of it early or a team that falls out of it in the next couple of months.
334-321-1390. Speaking of baseball, again, we talked about it a little earlier. Auburn is in Starkville. The Tigers will take on Mississippi State. Drew, see if we can run some Butch Thompson. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to break early, and then we'll run some Butch Thompson talking about the Tigers with trying to get a complete fresh start for the second half of SEC play. We'll do that. Love to hear from you, though. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, however you listen to podcasts.
Stick with us as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the SPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And while we have an opportunity, again, we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about on this Friday afternoon. But Auburn baseball getting ready to start a pretty long conference road trip. I mean, they're at Mississippi State this weekend. They're in Baton Rouge next weekend. Auburn 2-13 and trying to battle back in the SEC. One game back of LSU right now. It's going to be very tough, but they've got to get things going. Mississippi State 7-8 in conference play. And it is their Bulldog weekend with the spring football game tomorrow. And so there will be huge crowds there at Duty Noble Field. The media had a chance to sit down with Butch Thompson before the Tigers left for Starkville.
Before we get to the audio, what are you sort of expecting? Do we know the starting pitcher tonight?
Yeah, we know. Dylan Watts is going to get the start tonight. And then
I would be surprised if it's
Tanner Bauman starts tomorrow.
If it's not Bauman in one of the last two, and then maybe
Carson Myers is going to get the start Sunday. That's the plan right now.
Yeah, I could say maybe they call Myers into action today or tomorrow, and he's not.
Connor McBride is a guy that they'll have ready as well. Auburn just looking for somebody that can get them, to the middle innings. As a starter.
The outing coming on for Tanner on Saturday did not go well. I'd love to see John Montgomery make a push at some point because he had that good outing against was it Tennessee? He pitched.
Armstrong.
John Armstrong pitched well in the outing against Tennessee, and I'd love to see him make a push.
Yeah, so I mean, you're right. He has been Auburn's best pitcher in SEC play until last weekend. So, but the thing is, it's clean slate is what the players were all talking about. It's like, all right, first half is done, ready for the start of the second half.
Wings 94.3 tonight. If you want to catch
that is right.
If you want to catch the call,
5:45 coming up, just less than a half an hour for the pregame, and then the first pitch at 6:00. We'll let you hear some of the comments from Butch Thompson.
Looking forward to a fresh restart, second half of SEC baseball play, traveling to Mississippi State. I think it's Super Bulldog weekend. It'll be a fun experience, a great atmosphere. It always is for that event, much like our A-Day with the best crowds we've ever had. I expect the same going to Starkville this weekend. So looking forward to the second half.
So I guess this is talking about how you'll set up pitching heading into this series and kind of maybe even what you've learned the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we tried to adjust some things and really not sure we found a lot of answers, and just currently where we're at, you know, our last two game ones of series, I think we got a win versus Tennessee and a one-run loss versus Kentucky, and we'll probably throw Watts again in that first game and get started there. He probably looks a little more simplified in a starting role. He had really done a good job in some relief appearances, but hopefully some adjustments and growth. We'll start seeing him layer a little bit, and we feel like we're competitive in those games. So we'll go Watts game one. We were in a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series last week, so we'll keep, I guess, a full start now that Bauman gave us four scoreless innings last week. We'll keep him at a full start and throw him game two and hope that that was pretty good outing. I think he could extend it if he'd have been had been practicing, rehearsing that pitch count longer, but gave us four good innings, especially coming from relief and to doing that. And that was kind of a team pick who guys really wanted on the mound and have a start. And Tanner did a good job, so he'll get another opportunity there. And then we'll probably go Myers game three. Myers is somebody that we've dumped in some of those, what you'd call long relief, being one of our left-handers. But the last couple of weeks, and was a little slow this week, so his bullpen was a few days later. So we think he can help us best with a couple more days rest, and would probably, instead of going TBA, we'd probably announce Carson Myers for game three.
I know I feel like I ask this question every week, but I mean, how's health wise, is just about everybody available, or who's not?
Yeah, probably a little more banged up, Bill, than the last time we mentioned. You know, positionally, we have basically three hand injuries that are kind of day to day. We're taking a bigger group, and we take a lot of people like everybody else on these trips. So we'll have coaches and more people probably driving their own cars to get a few more guys on the bus, because I don't think our 27-man roster will be settled till Friday when we have to walk up to home plate. Bobby Pierce, as we've done scans and his hand, they're very similar injuries, happen different ways, but he's kind of a game time decision where he can be on the 20-man. He might still be on there. If you saw Tuesday, we used Irish and Pierce to defensive replace, so they can do everything. It's more about the activity of swinging a bat, stopping a swing, et cetera, with the hand injuries that they have. Ike will definitely swing tonight when we get to Startful and see. We'll probably just do some tee work with Bobby and see if he can progress and go tomorrow. And also we had a hit by pitch by Mainers, who's been out as well. And I think we've looked under the hood, and they've done CT scans or whatever, the x-rays, and got it to a point of, like, what can the player handle, and, you know, how good can they be in a game? You know, the timing and everything of missing some days. So we'll run around and test these players to see if those three guys can be on the 27-man and participate this weekend. So those are the three big position players. Myers, I told you that we've held him back a couple more days. Alex Petrovic is a freshman pitcher that had some bone stuff going on and had done a good job and got back healthy, but he's been slowed. He's definitely out this week and won't make the trip to Starful.
You mentioned second half. What's the key for you guys to start this second half and to try to follow, I mean, maybe a similar path that you guys did last year?
Yeah, good heart, good spirit. I really enjoyed Tuesday. You know, Weiss, you guys will speak to Cooper, hanging in there playing two home runs, just good energy in the ballpark the other night, and kind of weather storms of life and just keep playing and keep bringing a good spirit. So that's definitely going to be needed, because we're all we got, especially when you go on the road. So we'll need a good spirit from the guys, and then everybody's got a job to do, and everybody doing their job good, making some adjustments, and some of the same challenges of our pinch points and the competitive moments and getting a different result. And I think that's more than hope. I think that has to be some thought out, planned out adjustments that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. And sometimes when you have adjustments in baseball, they don't just manifest themselves, you know, in an instance. Sometimes they take a couple of weeks to grow and take hold and start seeing the fruit and benefit of it. Hopefully some of the things that we've done started talking about a couple of weeks ago will start playing out in our favor. So we're waiting patiently, but everybody's got a job to do, and everybody knows how, another SEC weekend, and I'm thankful to have a whole second half to see some of these adjustments and see us getting back to playing good baseball, kind of like we did for a 13-3 start, and getting back to that. It's been a tough run against great teams. We've learned a lot. We've been absolutely, had challenges along the way, but a good spirit, staying together, but absolutely making some real adjustments to allow us to get back and have a chance to win. If we can get more consistent on the mound, we'll have a consistent opportunity to win, and get the result that we want.
Butch, what has it meant with some of those injuries for guys like Kay Ballou, Eric Guevara, Cale Strickland to step up, and is Cole Edwards may be a freshman that could get more opportunities going forward?
Yeah, I thought that was an exciting piece of Tuesday. I'm glad you bring that up because Guevara looks like he's more and more comfortable. 6 months, and, it's one thing to rehab a knee. It's another thing, to start playing ball again, and I think he's getting closer and closer and looking the part. He had a ball fall in the other night early. He had some at-bats where there's some things that he's still working on. Defensively, looks like he's getting more comfortable at third base especially. He had a fair foul ball the other night that he absolutely did an amazing job on and kept playing and showing a good true backspin throw across the field. So it feels like he's growing and growing. Cade Ballou has done some good things in our league the last few weeks, and with the injuries and just with his play has earned more opportunities. I think everybody knows he has every tool necessary and required to have success at this level. And I think this experience that he gets right now is absolutely going to benefit him moving forward. So I think everybody is excited to see the young players. Cale Strickland, he got in a gap there first inning the other night in our big inning. The job of a catcher, number one, is to absolutely serve those pitchers and be the backstop and help us run a good game with good energy. And he has great energy, so he's receiving the ball well. Some of our best receiving games from a metric standpoint has been this past weekend with him behind the plate, so he's doing a great job there. But he's got good bounce, and, his dad was a catcher, and I can just see some of that stuff. He looks like he's ahead of his time from a development standpoint, especially when he's back there catching because of his, experience and what he's been, around his whole life. So those guys, Cole Edwards, we just think he's going to hit. He's still trying to grow defensively. And so maybe that's why Ballou, being left-handed, maybe was a little stronger on both sides of the ball, got an opportunity more. But with some of these injuries and some of these guys out, Cole's the next guy up. And, again, we think he's going to be a force and a threat at the plate, and he's continuing to grow and develop as a defender. But just like Tuesday represented, we have no hesitation of putting him in the ball game and thinking he can help us have success.
And that's Butch Thompson as his Tigers get ready for Mississippi State. That one coming up in a little over a half an hour over in Starkville. Again, you can hear all the action. Andy and Brad will have the pregame starting at 5:45 on Wings 94.3. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we go ahead and get early to our bottom of the hour break.
I figured, rather than launching into something
new, might
as
well.
Baseball, we'll take a break, come back.
All right, stick with us. Come on in and join us, as a matter of fact, here in the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Friday afternoon. And, we've been saying, it's really been pretty calm in the with the transfer portal. The numbers are way down. Now, I think, there are a few schools that still have not wrapped up spring practice. So you wouldn't expect players with a couple of days left in the spring to announce. You would think once spring practice is done, that's why they would make those announcements. And it's only been 3 days. The portal just opened on Tuesday. But I think, Dan, that I think all of us were figuring, well, by this time, Auburn would have a handful of players, scholarship players in the portal, and the only new addition confirmed thus far has been Brenton Williams.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we were waiting to see what kind of activity there would be in the spring portal. I mean, everyone's got the option to leave now in the fall. So, I mean, there's reason to think it would be more subdued than than what you get in December. But I still thought that there'd be some Auburn players going out and testing the waters, and it's been pretty quiet so far. Although you were saying that, you know, that could change this weekend. You know, now that things are. Well,
you know, Brian Matthews will be on with us on Monday, and the man there, at AuburnSports.com is JG Tate. I mean, you know, Brian is the. It's funny when you listen to their podcast. Jay will say, you know, Brian is a doer of all things, but I mean, JG is the, you know, it's his sight, and when he posts something, you note it, you pay attention, and JG just posted, I mean, within the last 5 minutes, that he had just a quick post 5 minutes ago saying we're hearing a good amount of portal chatter this afternoon. He did point out, as we had said, it sounds good for Kayron Crawford, the defensive end from Arkansas State, who is expected to be in town this weekend. The other note that he posted, he said, on the downside, strong signals that Colton Hood may hit the portal. And that, I think, would be a... That'd be a tough one, because Colton Hood is a guy.
You were extremely high on
I mean, he, every single player that we asked about defensive backs and coach that we talked to about the defensive backs mentioned Colton Hood, said he had a great spring, and we had heard that he had an interception in nearly every time there was an opportunity for it to be defensive backs against wide receivers. Colton Hood would come up with a pick. I was told that he was the best player that Auburn had as far as tracking the ball in the air and being able to come up with pass breakups and interceptions. Yes, so that'd be a tough loss, because I felt like he was at worst Auburn's number three cornerback.
Right, and between Colton and the three presumptive starters now in Keontae Scott, Champ Anthony, and Kane Lee, you figured there were going to be a lot of snaps for the four of them.
Oh, yes, no question.
If Colton Hood indeed goes in the portal, I do wonder if Auburn wants to add a veteran defensive back.
I would think so.
Or if that increases the workload for somebody like Spooty Kite, or if that's somebody who, I mean, I'm trying to think of who can play both the inside and
Auburn's
the outside.
Auburn's got a bunch of guys that have worked there. It's just, you know, Colton had really... Yeah. He'd really stepped it up this spring. As JG points out, at this, you know, as of this moment, he is not in the portal, saying it's been back and forth.
I would think Kite would be the player to benefit the most, right, in the short term, because it seems like that would be the guy I would slot into where Colton Hood would be on the depth chart in a lot of ways at corner. Would be Antonio Kite. I want to say Spooty and Hood were the two.
J.C. Hart's gonna that would be an option.
J.C. Hart would be there too.
But I want to say
the two outside, like, if the, I want to say the starting outside corners at A-Day were Keontae and Kane Lee,
right?
And the backup outside corners at A-Day were Colton Hood and Antonio Kite. And so that would I think, you know, if Hood's indeed into the portal, I would think that opens up a bigger role for the other backup corner, Kite, who can now be called upon. A guy they've also worked inside could be called upon to play more.
Yeah, Tyler Scott's another one.
Tyler Scott, yeah. Tyler Scott and Sylvester Smith are the two guys that I think came out of the blue the most from the beginning of spring practice to now, as far as, you know, who
Colton
we heard.
Probably
Colton
did.
Would have been on, yeah. Colton would have been on that list as well. Although I would even say, I mean, Sylvester Smith was the one that I had completely sort of, I had other guys.
Yeah, he's a guy that was pretty highly touted, but he was just behind so many veterans a year ago.
But that would be a disappointing development if
it really would.
Because, and I think part of
it seems like it almost always happens everywhere that somebody that you just figured, oh, they're going to get a lot of playing time, so they're not going to go in the portal. Goes.
Well, anybody can anybody can jump in, and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes that can lead to these sorts of moves. I think with Colton, it would be more disappointing because he's also an Auburn legacy, like you pointed out. Like, that's a guy who, you know, with ties to the with family ties to Auburn football.
Rod, I believe, was his uncle.
Yeah, I mean that would be that'd be a shame too. But you know what, guys got to do what's best for them, and maybe there's a starting job out there for Colton Hood at corner somewhere right now, and he thinks that he can go find it if he goes into the portal. It would be maybe something of a surprise based on everything we've heard about so far this spring about how well he had been doing. But you know, maybe he wants to go try his luck somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean we'll have to wait and see. Again, players have until the end of this month, until April 30th, to enter the portal. The thing to remember is, players that enter the portal in the SEC cannot transfer to other SEC schools and play this fall. Now, they can transfer to other SEC schools. They are just ineligible to play this fall.
Now, graduates can still play this fall, right?
Sure, I believe grad transfers don't have that restriction.
Undergraduate transfers have to sit out if they stay in the conference.
Yeah, because the first thing I saw was somebody saying, oh, he's headed to Georgia. Well, if he's headed to Georgia, he's not going to play this year. If he stays at Auburn, he's going to play this year.
Could be headed to the state of Georgia. You know, I mean,
I guess he could go to Georgia Tech
or Georgia State or Georgia Southern and get on the field a lot this year and then try his luck. You know, and
why would you? I mean, honestly, I don't know why you'd want to transfer sort of down.
Unless he, I mean, maybe he wasn't in line for the kind of playing time we thought. Like, if I mean, it's a possibility. Although, like you said, we'd heard nothing but good things about the spring he was having.
I find it hard to believe you wouldn't want the guy who is the best at your best ball hawk playing. But
we have heard positive things about some of the other guys in that room.
Oh yeah,
as well.
We have. But I mean, it does sound like Auburn is fighting to try to keep him. That the line about it being back and forth, it's probably not all just Colton deciding.
I do wonder how tempting it is for players to go into the portal just to improve their own position where they are. Like, where, you know,
if you know that you're wanted, at least talk about going into the portal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
toy with going into the portal.
And that was something that was lost on, like, the talk that, oh, well, Caitlin Clark's going to get a pay cut if she goes to the WNBA versus staying in college.
Well, as far as salary.
But there's
a $20 million endorsement deal.
But there's one thing people forget about college athletes, which is that they're largely, I mean, they can't really sign the shoe contract because they're tied to whatever school.
And Iowa was already a Nike school.
Exactly. So Caitlin Clark at Iowa doesn't have the leverage to negotiate Adidas or Under Armour that she does when she goes pro. And apparently Under Armour made a very real push to try to, the way Steph Curry has been the face of the men's basketball side of Under Armour Athletics, they sort of envisioned a scenario where Caitlin Clark would be the Steph Curry of women's basketball for Under Armour, and apparently made a very competitive push. But yeah, the story is that I've heard nine figure Nike deal over the life of it, you know, possibly for
supposedly $20 million
for Caitlin Clark. Well, there's
maybe more.
Yeah, could be bigger than that with some of the with some of the talk there. So we'll that's something that's not available to you as a college athlete because of the
not. So anyway, that's some possible news, something to keep an eye on. I mean, so don't be surprised if there are we expected there to be some players, some Auburn players entering the portal. And I still think there will be some more that'll enter the portal. That's not a name that I'd heard. I mean, I'd heard some names that might be a surprise to folks thinking about entering the portal, but Colton Hood was not one of those names. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I guess, you know, I'd seen, as a matter of fact, a week or so ago, I'd seen a couple of defensive backs mentioned. I thought they were more safety types, but I mean, maybe so. And Auburn's cross-trained a lot of guys back there in the secondary, so I guess if they added another veteran safety. They can move somebody that they feel is a better cover guy to corner.
If Hood leaves, would you think that Auburn adds a veteran defensive back, or would you think it becomes more urgent to add one if Colton Hood moves on? Because I do wonder if that would be, right now they feel like they've got the snaps that they need in the secondary. But if they wanted to add somebody, that's a possibility. We keep thinking they're going to add somebody at interior defensive line.
And Philip Bleedy, is the guy that they'd love to before he takes a lot more trips. He came in, said he had a really good visit. Auburn would like to add him.
Bleedy and Crawford would pretty much wrap things up as far as what they're trying to do.
I think they'd take another one. I think they'd take one more.
On the defensive line.
Yeah, if they could get a guy, because I think they're still looking at a couple of guys that might be able to play inside and out. So I think just to add the depth and the numbers, Crawford is a little bit different type. Bleedy's a one-year guy. Crawford's got 2 years of eligibility.
I mean, who from last year's roster is back and able to provide snaps in that? I mean, I guess you've got the two.
Defensive front?
I mean, you've got Jason and Zeke, right? And then you've got Jason Jones and Kevious Walker.
Right, and then you've got your two transfers and Trill and Gage. Carter and Gage Keys.
Who weren't on last year's team.
But guys from last year's roster
who are back? The two red shirt, the two JUCO guys, right?
Bobby Jamison, Travis.
And DJ Reed.
Right, he was a freshman.
That's right. The two guys who redshirted, one of them was JUCO and Bobby James Travis. One of them was DJ Reed. I would think that's it. That's it.
That's it.
Then
you've got your true freshman Malik Blockton and TJ Lindsey.
And now they've added Gage and
Amaris Williams, who could be a strong side end, could work some at the rush end.
And they've added Malik Blockton as well. But if they add Bleedy and maybe someone else to that mix, maybe it's a. Yeah, I mean it's a total reshuffling, right? Of what you have in the defensive line room, mm-hmm. and it goes to show how much they feel like they needed to add to that room after the season was over.
And let me address some comments that I have read from people that are concerned, going, why is Auburn going after defensive linemen when the defensive line dominated the offensive line? All right, that was a scrimmage with a bunch of players that have been practicing against each other and have an idea what the offense is going to do.
Is the implication that Auburn should be going and finding new offensive linemen?
Yes, the implication is, well, then they obviously need offensive line more than they do defensive line.
I think if any of Auburn's five, of the five guys that are slated to start at Auburn this fall, if any of them went in the portal right now, there would be a crazy market for them.
Absolutely, there would.
I think if any of Percy, Dylan Wade, Connor Liu, Jeremiah Wright or Too Tall Miller, if any one of those guys went into the transfer portal today, people would be shocked at how much interest there would be from major players,
right?
Championship level programs. The reason Auburn wants more defensive linemen is because it's in vogue now.
You need more defensive linemen,
and if you're not sure about your talent at the absolute top level, if you're not sure about how great your starters are, it makes sense to be as deep as possible and try to rotate. DJ Durkin has been big on rotating defensive linemen and getting the most out of their 15, 20 snaps a game, and so the more guys like that who can contribute, the more options it gives you.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Inspector is up next. Hey, Specter.
Hey, I just want to tell you, Dan, Talladega's this weekend.
That's right. No, we
it is a big weekend. That's right.
Our pals Justin Ferguson and Justin Lee are headed up to Talladega. Justin Ferguson will be back, weather permitting. Justin Ferguson will be on the show next week with a Talladega report, Specter.
Yes, that's right. Weather permitting. Your guy hadn't won a race in, I think, 107.
Kozlowski?
Yeah.
It's been a while. You know what? Because I don't think he's won a race since I picked him as my driver, right? It's amazing the effect, the peck effect that can happen on a driver like that. But he won the Talladega. He's been very good in Talladega before. Is what I understand of Kozlowski.
That's right.
And he did win he won the one that I went to when it was Dale Jr.'s final race final race in Talladega.
Well, last week he had a chance to win last week.
Kozlowski did it slip away?
Well, they had an accident right in front of him, and he ended up second. He was in third or fourth place, and I think there was Chastain and I can't remember who hit Chastain, but they flipped and they didn't turn over. They just turned sideways, and he almost got hit, but he managed to be in second place, wind up in second place. But Elliott won the race.
All right, who you got this weekend? Which pick?
I'm always going with Larson. He's my man.
Kyle Larson, I got you. We'll see. Should be – really hope the weather cooperates. I know some folks going up there, and I would think it's going to be a – I would think it's going to be a madhouse up in Talladega on Sunday.
All right, buddies. I'll see y'all later.
All right, Spector. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it.
All right. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join if you'd like. 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive.
Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. All right, I saw something, and Dan was familiar with the guy.
How about that?
Had seen him. Someone had mentioned, could this be a possibility that Bruce Pearl and staff could be looking at as another player in the backcourt? And I saw that into the transfer portal is Duke Miles from High Point. And you went, oh, Troy.
Yeah, that's right. Duke Miles, who spent a former Robert E. Lee high school product out of Montgomery.
Say 7A
All-Metro Player of the Year in 2020, who went to Troy. For the first 3 years of his college basketball career. I believe he suffered an injury his third year at Troy and then went into the transfer portal, had a great year at High Point this past season, and is now back in the transfer portal for one more year. Undersized, ball-dominant point guard, willing to shoot.
He can make them.
Similar to J.P. Pegues, I think, in a lot of ways. 36% from three. And curious guy who I know Florida State, I believe there's been a visit he's visited and I think there was another ACC school as well, but not Duke Miles is a he was a really fun player to watch at Troy.
Wow, so there are possibilities. Again, Auburn is looking to add the final couple of pieces.
First team All Big South this year at High Point. And a guy who
did you say he averaged 17?
17 a game at 17 a game at High Point, and was originally a Montgomery kid who might be interested in coming a little bit closer to home to the Southeast.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Again, like you said earlier, when we were talking about it. Auburn's in a situation that most teams would be extremely envious of, with the return of so many players that are heading into their final year. That might be the only thing that might make you hesitate. That's another player who it would be his final year. Auburn looks like they have 7 players for the upcoming season that are entering their final year of eligibility.
There was a guard that I was curious to see where he was going to end up. Terrence Edwards was the Sun Belt Player of the Year this past year at James Madison. He was Sixth Man of the Year previous season. Averaged 17 points, 17-4-3. A good, solid off-ball guard for JMU. Could play some point guard, probably needs to play some point guard to get to the next level. Was curious to see where he was going to end up. He's going to Louisville. So he's a big get for the new coach there at Louisville, the old Charleston coach making that jump. But that's there's some high quality mid major players still in the portal. A lot of guys who led their team in scoring, a lot of conference player of the year type guys, first team all conference type guys, and I'll be interested to see Auburn. We were saying it's remarkable how much progress Auburn has made on their roster compared to some of the other programs in college basketball, championship level programs.
Right.
UConn's still losing guys to the NBA draft. Duke has, I think, 2 returning players from last year's team to go along with the freshmen that they've signed.
Kentucky lost their last player.
Kentucky doesn't
today.
Have
we were just talking about Jordan Burke.
Arkansas's only player is the transfer from Kentucky, Big Z. Mm-hmm. So it is incredible sort of the state of things with major college basketball programs. And then there's Auburn, which has so much of last year coming back.
Yeah, hoping to go ahead and find those final couple of pieces. One in the front court, one in the back court. A couple of possibilities. We mentioned Jordan Burks entering the portal from Kentucky. He's from Decatur originally. He played about 7 minutes a game this past year.
We didn't talk about it too much. I really like the pickup of Chris Youngblood for Alabama, the USF player, Tuscaloosa native. I think a lot of people thought Alabama was in the lead as soon as he announced he was going into the portal, but over 1,000 career points at Kennesaw State before going to USF, followed his coach from Kennesaw State to USF, and now he's going to play 1 year at he was looking at Louisville, he was looking at Florida State, but he's choosing Alabama. He's a big reason why Sears and Nelson might come back, because there's some good players on that team that they'd get to play with. And if Sears and Nelson come back with the work Nate Oates has done around the roster, you know, the state of Alabama could have two preseason top 10 teams in college basketball next year.
I think at least one of the two, if not both, come back to Tuscaloosa. All right, it's been a fun show, fun week, but we are out of time. As I mentioned earlier, Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports will be on with us Monday, and we'll see how much news happens. There could be a good bit of portal news from over the weekend. Auburn baseball about to get underway over in Starkville. We'll talk about that and much more with you on Monday. But we're out of time for the Friday show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.